Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening so much every week to Bible Crossfire at this time. We've been emphasizing Proverbs 14, verse 12 the last few weeks. There's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the ways thereof are death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me quote that correctly. Just because it seems right to us doesn't mean it is right. What defines for us what is right is what God's word says. The truth. Only the truth will make us free, John 8:32. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jerry from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay. My question is, to be a partaker of other men's sins, do you have to be doing what they're doing or just to help them do what's wrong? I can listen on the telephone.
So you can be a partaker in other men's sins. Let me read for you. You may be taking that terminology from 2 John verses 9 through 11. Simply by helping them or encouraging them in their sin, bidding them Godspeed is the way the King James puts it. We remember, Jerry, verse 9 of 2 John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So that verse is saying that Pat needs to abide in the teaching of Christ. But then here comes verse 10 and 11, where we get this terminology of partaking in other people's evil deeds. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So let me illustrate. Verse 9, well, we know we're going to talk about on this program, if we have time, about women having leadership roles in the church. It says it's a shame for women to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have women preachers. But Jerry, it's going to be impossible for me to commit the sin of being a woman preacher. Why is that, Jerry?
Because the Bible says for women not to be subject over men and keep silence in the churches.
Nope. Well, listen to what my question, though. It's going to be impossible for me, Pat Donahue, to commit the sin of being a woman preacher. Why is that, Jerry?
Because you're not a woman.
That's right. But suppose I worship with a church that allows women preachers.
I got you.
And I go along with it and don't try to get them to change. Well, that's where 10 and 11 comes in. So verse 9, I'm abiding in the teaching of Christ. I can't commit the sin of being a woman preacher, but I'm going along with it. I'm bidding them Godspeed. I become a partaker in their evil deeds. Right, Jerry.
Okay, I have a real quick example. If you rent rooms and you rent to a guy and his girlfriend, they're not married, aren't you a partaker of their sin?
Well, I'd have to know the exact situation. But if you
Well, it's just a guy and his girlfriend want to rent a room from you.
Jerry,
know they're not married. If you rent a room, you're a partaker of their sin, right? Because you're helping them. You know what they're going to be doing.
Love you. Probably not wise to use this program goes all over the nation to try to get at a friend, okay? But thank
you.
Well,
this is a general
question. Yeah, thank you for your question, Jerry. So Jerry has a good point to make here. If you're not a woman preacher, but you worship with a church that allows women to preach from the pulpit, then you just go along with it. You don't try to object to it and get them to change. Then you're encouraging them in their sin. What if you're helping somebody sin? What if you give somebody a ride down to a shady hotel so they can meet up with a prostitute and you know they're going to meet up with a prostitute? Then, though you're not committing the sin of adultery or fornication as the case may be, because you knowingly help them commit fornication with that prostitute, then you become a partaker in their evil deeds. That's a very good point by Jerry. Appreciate the call, Jerry. If you have a Bible question or comment, I want you to give me a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. And the lines are wide open. You shouldn't have any problems getting in right now. So we brought up as an illustration of being a partaker of other people's sins, going along with a church that allows women to preach from the pulpit. And that brings up this question. Should women have leadership roles in the church? It's one of the more controversial issues in the religious world today. Can women have leadership roles in the church? For example, should women preach from the pulpit? Can women be pastors or elders? Let's begin to answer those questions by reading 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, which we already referenced, but we didn't read nearly the whole thing. Here's how that passage reads. And I think it's really, I like to say that it's the clearest passage on any topic in the Bible, in the Bible. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. How can you misunderstand that passage? It says it three times, let your women keep silence in the churches. That's how it begins in verse 34. Then the next thing it says, it's not permitted unto them to speak. Also in verse 34. In verse 35 ends this way, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. And you doubt whether or not the question about whether or not women can preach in the church assemblies, and you wonder if it's so? Well, you must not be thinking about God being your authority and the Bible being your authority, since it's his, since the Bible is God's written instructions, if you belong to a church that allows women to preach from the pulpit, because there's nothing hard to understand at all about that passage. As I say, I think, this is just my opinion, it's the clearest text on any topic in the Bible. It's so very clear, yet I'm told 75% of churches across America and Canada will allow a woman to speak from the pulpit when the whole church has come together in one place. I don't think they're using their Bible as their guidebook in Christianity anymore, are they? This passage illustrates how wrong the idea is that the Bible's hard to understand, and that's why we have different interpretations. Because we have all kinds of people disagreeing on this passage, but it's not because this passage is hard to understand. It's easy to understand. The real problem, I think, most of the time, why people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, it's not because the Bible's hard to understand, and this passage illustrates that. It's because people don't have a, quote, love for the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You'll go right on the air. 877-655-6755. Another passage that proves women should not be preachers is 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. I'm going to read that to you from the American Standard Version. Very accurate translation. It says, let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. But I permit not a woman to teach nor to have the dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. So a woman is not to teach or have dominion over a man. Now, whenever a woman teaches in the church assembly, there are men present, so she's violating this text, which tells her not to teach over the man. See my point? And this passage would also forbid a woman from teaching a class with men as students, like what we commonly call the Sunday school classes, Bible classes. Most churches come together for those classes divided up based upon age groups. They call them Sunday school classes, or we might call them Bible classes. They're not all together in one place. So it's not the church assembly. So they're not speaking in church when they speak in those classes. But if they're leading the class with men in it, they're violating 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. They're not to teach over a man. They're not to usurp authority over the man. And that brings me to my next point. If they're not to usurp authority or take dominion over man, that's how the American Standard puts it, not to have dominion over man, then they're not going to be qualified to be an elder over the church. You can't be an elder over church without taking dominion over men. So being an elder over a church, a woman being an elder over church, wouldn't that also violate the text we just read, forbidding a woman from having dominion over a man, teaching or usurping authority over the man? That's, I think, why when we read 1 Timothy 3, when it gives the qualifications for an elder, verse 2 says she must be the husband of one wife. Why is that? Why does she have to be a husband? But she can't be the wife of one husband. Why? Because she can't be a man and be an elder also. Because a woman, excuse me, she can't be a woman and be an elder also. Because a woman is not to have authority over the men. And by definition, the elder takes the oversight of the congregation. The elders do. So she can't be an elder because she would be taking oversight over men. She would be taking a leadership position over a man. She would be usurping authority over a man. She would be having a dominion over a man. So the reason an elder has to be the husband of one wife and not the wife of one husband is because what we read in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. She's not to take dominion or usurp authority over the man. Does that sound pretty clear? So there, here we have at least two passages that tell us that a woman cannot be a preacher. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 says she can't be an elder. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. So men should take that leadership role, pastor or elder, at least according to the two more key New Testament passages. Here they are. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, when we talk about the head here, we're not talking about a physical head sitting on top of a body. We're talking about head in the sense of a boss. It's an analogy there. Your boss at work is the head. He's the head of the department, they say. It means he's the boss of the department. Just like our head is the boss over our body. It says the head of every man is Christ. Christ is in a position of authority over every man. Then it says the head of the woman is the man. Women are to be subjection to men. Men are over the women just like Christ is over men. And then it says, and the head of Christ is God. God the Father is over his son, just like any father would be over his son. The order going in reverse is God is over Christ. Christ is over man. And men are over women. So the women are not to take a leadership role over a man. They're not to usurp authority over the man. Because the head of the woman is the man. She's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Now, we've been talking about the church, but this would include taking the leadership role in the home. Let me read Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Before I do that, let me mention the number to call again. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Let me try to take this call. Robert from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Praise the Lord. How you doing, sir?
Great. Thanks for your call, Robert.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
All right. Well, you know, being that we're in the time, these are pretty much the last of the last days. That's what it would seem. And we have a couple of things to consider. On one hand, you know, as far as the women, as you said, more, you know, 75% of the churches that are open, they are allowing women to speak. And it said that I will pour out my spirit in the last days, on your sons and daughters. And I mean, I'm just saying that just to give a word on behalf of our females, where God's spirit is being poured out on all flesh. And I'm thinking it's too far gone. We're not going to stop women from preaching and teaching and utilizing the gifts that they feel God has given them. So rather than that, I would just put a caution out to all of us to really, let's just zone into the actual words that are coming across to the pulpit. Let's pay clear attention to what is being said, and to our best, we're going to try that word by the word God has said in this Bible. And, we'll try to walk in that love, because, you know, I mean, what can we say back even in the Old Testament? Judges were not women. Judges generally were men.
And Robert, I'm going to appreciate your call. Appreciate your call. Now, let's think about that passage in Acts 2. It did say women would prophesy, but it didn't say they would prophesy in the church. There's a rule in the Bible. There's going to be times when it looks like the Bible contradicts itself on different subjects. It's just an apparent contradiction. We know it doesn't contradict itself. It's all written by God. He's not going to contradict himself. One of those times is when you have the Bible teaching women prophesied. Acts 2, Acts 21:9 says Philip's four virgin daughters prophesied. But then we have, it says something that women are not to preach, speak in the church. Was that a contradiction? No, there's a simple way to reconcile those where both can be right. And this is what you always have to do when you think you see a contradiction. Figure out how both of them can be right. Here's how this is both right. One place says that women taught the Bible. Another place teaches that women are not to teach in the church. That's not a contradiction if you understand they're not to teach in the church, but they can teach outside the church. We all know that. When I was a boy growing up, my dad told me not to talk in church. One time I did, He said, Pat, when we get home, you're going to get a spanking. And he did spank me when I got home. Boy, did I dread that. I knew what he meant when he said, don't talk in church. It didn't mean I couldn't talk when I got home and was watching a football game Sunday afternoon. It didn't mean that. He meant don't talk in church. So when 1 Corinthians 14 says a woman should not speak in the church, that means she's not to teach in the church. It doesn't mean she can't teach outside the church. So even in the Sunday school classes, a woman could teach a ladies' Bible class or a children's class or at her home, as long as she doesn't teach a class that has men in it, because that would violate 1 Timothy 2:11-12. It says she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. As long as she doesn't speak in the church, when the whole church has come together into one place, I'm borrowing that terminology from 1 Corinthians 14:23, 34 and 35 says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. As long as she doesn't speak in the church, she's okay. So there's no contradiction. No contradiction. Now, the caller also seemed to be making this point. Well, we know the Bible teaches against women preachers, but so many of them are doing it, 75%, and I think he's right, that we're just going to have to give up trying to fight it. No. I mean, are we going to give up trying to teach that it's wrong to murder, that it's wrong to rape, just because those sins are so prevalent? Are we going to give up on teaching that homosexuality is a sin, that gay marriage is a sin, just because those sins are so prevalent? Are we going to give up contending for the truth that baptism should be an immersion of believer just because so many churches sprinkle babies for baptism? No, we got to keep preaching the truth, even if 99% of the people who claim to be Christians, 99% of the believers out there aren't willing to hold to the truth on something. We still have to preach the truth on it and do our very best to preach it effectively and in a kind way. It doesn't matter how many people believe something. It doesn't matter that most people believe in women preachers. The Bible still says, God still says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's not going to change. That Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, that the truth, the way to heaven is going to be narrow. The broad way leads to destruction. So you can expect most people are going to end up going the wrong way. They're not going to be diligent enough or committed enough to actually follow the truth taught by the Bible. They're going to let things like, what do I like? What's politically correct? What'll bring in the most people? What are people enjoying? What do we think is best? They're going to let those things come into play. They're not going to say, well, whatever the Bible says, we're going to follow that and let the chips fall where they may. They're not going to do that. If you have a Bible question or comment, though, the lines are wide open at this time. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's a passage that shows that this leadership role of the man over the woman applies outside the church. A lot of people say, well, that only applies at the church. I see that all the time, hear it all the time. But they're forgetting about Ephesians 5:22-23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So the husband should be the leader of the family, not the wife. And that applies to things other than the church. That applies to the home. So the passage in 1 Timothy 2:11-12, obviously is not applying just to the church or just to Bible classes. 1 Corinthians 11:3 talks about the husband is the head of the man is the head of the woman. That's not talking about in church. So it's in church and out of church. The man takes the leadership role. In the family, the father is supposed to take the leadership role. And in other areas of life, the man is to take the leadership role. The woman is not to usurp authority over the man in any area of life. You don't have the right to sin just because and violate 1 Timothy 2 just because you're not in church. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Now, if you go back several decades ago, hardly any congregation allowed women to be preachers or pastors. But now almost all of them do. I'm told, and we just heard a caller mention it, about 75% of congregations across the U.S. and Canada allow women to preach from the pulpit. What happened? Well, let's try to take this call, and we'll get back to that. Jeff from Arizona, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm in an area that I don't have a great signal. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, because I talk with people with Roman Catholicism. There's a guy, Scott Hahn, I guess you're probably familiar with. He was somewhat up there in the evangelical church, and he tried to disprove Roman Catholicism. Now he's like one of the leading people in the whole church to teach on Roman Catholicism as the one true faith, and it's just mind-boggling. So I was wondering what your perspective or what you thought about it, or what do you know?
So I've had about five or six debates with Roman Catholic apologists. We've debated things like sola scriptura. The Bible teaches, and I'm about to read a passage that proves it, that the scriptures are sole authority in religion. The Catholics say, no, it's the scriptures plus the infallibility of the Pope and church tradition. Here's 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Jeff. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the scriptures are supposed to provide us and to give us everything that we need so that we'll be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Catholic Church is wrong to say that we need the magisterium, the Pope, infallibility of the Pope in the church tradition. The scriptures give us everything we need to know. Does that make sense, Jeff?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I agree 100% with you, but it's just mind-boggling how Scott Hahn, like I said, was one of the leaders in Christianity. And
let me see if I can get back to you, Jeff. I'm going to take another call and try to get back to you. Edna from Florida, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I think we're generally missing the point. We're making it like a gender issue, and we should just focus on the truth of the word. I mean, in the last days, it says that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And we're in like the last days, and
so
to reach
in that passage. In that passage, it says your women shall prophesy, but we've been over that. And it doesn't say they'll prophesy in the church, though. Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied, Acts 21:9. So there's no doubt that women taught the Bible. They're commanded to do it in Titus 2. The older women are commanded to teach the younger women. But Edna, there's not going to be a contradiction in the Bible. And the Bible says the women are not to speak in the church. So they can teach outside the church, but they can't teach in the church, and they can't teach over the man. 1 Timothy 2:11.
Okay. 12. What about the change in times where we're in the last days? It said men will be lovers of themselves. You know, like if you don't have the amount of men that's stepping up to the plate, we need to reach the younger generation, and the younger generation are looking to the older ones for leadership and if you got all this sin going on in the church, but
so somebody mentioned to me a couple of months ago, and I wish I remember who it was, but he made this very challenging statement. He says, we should rather die than to commit even one sin. So we should rather die than let a woman preach from the pulpit, because that's a sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. God's law said it's a shame for women to speak in the church. They're to keep silence in the church. God does not permit them to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14. So we should rather die than allow a woman to preach from the pulpit. We can always call another congregation and ask them to allow one of their young men, perhaps, to come over and preach for us. Hey, Jeff, another thing that I've debated the Catholics on is infant baptism. Let me read to you. You still there, Jeff? Jeff, let me read to you Acts 8:35-37. This is talking about the conversion of the eunuch. In 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the answer said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, which means you have to believe first before you can be baptized. That rules out infants as being scriptural candidates for baptism. Now, as I said, if you go back several decades, there was no churches allowing women preachers. But let me get back to Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this loose attitude has gone toward allowing divorce, gay marriage, sprinkling for baptism, infant baptism. I mean, the loose attitude that allows women to preach from the pulpit, abortion, and other things. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience. Call me at 256-682-9753.